Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
I'm delighted to welcome a regular guest to the show when we're here, Fabien Picardo, who's the Chief Minister of Gibraltar. Good morning. Thank you for coming.
Good morning to you.
Nice to see you.
Welcome to Gibraltar.
Thank you. Let's start with some happy news, and we can talk about football to start with, can't we? And some really good news to Gibraltar. It's not only the first home game this evening, but it's the first home game effectively in Gibraltar.
That's right. Football's coming home to Gibraltar tonight.
You see, you've thought that through, haven't you?
Yeah, well, it's on the flags. It's on the flags. Macedonia coming to play Gibraltar at the Victoria Stadium tonight. They'll be very welcome, and we're looking forward to a great match.
And this is the Nations Cup.
This is the FIFA Nations Cup, we're very much looking forward to this first opportunity to play at home with our 12th member of the team, rather, on the stand, the Gibraltar fans supporting the boys on the pitch.
Isn't that wonderful how well Gibraltar have done? It's just marvellous to see that.
It is incredible. It's to think that FIFA were trying to exclude us from competition less than 5 years ago, and we're now at the stage where we're competing at home in this new competition. So we're going to be there from the beginning of the Nations Cup, and I think that's quite something.
Absolutely marvellous. We'll keep it light for a moment before we do the heavy stuff, because we do have to talk about the dreaded B word in just a moment. But another very positive thing for Gibraltar, and that's National Day coming up.
Yes, indeed. And on Monday, we're going to celebrate the 25th Gibraltar National Day.
Incredible.
It's 25 years since we started to celebrate with a bank holiday. It's 26 since we first came out in red and white. But the first official National Day, 25 years ago, a quarter of a century.
Wow.
Asserting our identity, telling the world who we are, and inviting the world to come and celebrate with us peacefully, that celebration of Gibraltarian identity.
Yes, so for those who don't know what the celebration actually is revolved around, what are you celebrating, in fact?
Well, last year was 50 years since the referendum that was held in 1967.
Oh, don't say that dreaded word, referendum.
We've got the R word and the B word.
Remember that in Gibraltar, we only call a referendum to ask a question that we know the answer to. So in 1967, we voted on the question of whether we should remain British or whether we should come under the yoke of the Spanish dictator, General Franco.
It
wasn't a difficult question to answer. 99%, as you know, voted to remain British. The numbers haven't shifted much since then. If anything, they've got harder.
Yeah.
And in 2002, we voted again on the same question, not to pass under the yoke of a dictator, but to pass under Spanish sovereignty, or to remain British, or to go into joint sovereignty, which was the proposal then, and we chose to remain entirely British, also by 99%.
Fantastic. So on the it's always on a Monday, isn't it? Everybody takes a day off.
It's not always on the Monday.
Oh, okay, it's always on the 10th.
It's on the 10th of
always
September.
Always on the 10th, whatever that happens to be.
Celebrate that day.
So everybody gets a holiday.
Whatever day it may be.
I think we should in Spain as well.
Definitely.
For Gibraltar.
Well, I'm quite prepared to propose that Spain should have a bank holiday for Gibraltar National Day.
Why don't we just have a Talk Radio Europe Day?
Yes.
You could bestow that upon us. I'm sure you have the power somewhere to do that.
Well, I think we can enlist Mr. Farage's support for Talk Radio Europe having a day off.
Let's talk about the dreaded B word. I'm just looking back here at a newspaper article from 2016 in which your old chum, Spain's acting foreign minister, José Manuel García Margallo, said that Spain would make clear that Gibraltar does not belong to the UK and would have the right to veto if it didn't agree with the negotiation framework for Brexit. How things have changed, or have they?
Things have changed a lot. First of all, Señor Margallo is no longer in office. I think whatever party has been in power in the past 25 years of democracy in Spain, we've not seen anybody quite as belligerent as Señor Margallo when it came to Gibraltar. He was succeeded by Señor Dastis, who was also there for the Partido Popular, although he wasn't a member of the Partido Popular. He was a diplomat who they brought in to be a foreign minister. Señor Dastis was much more sensitive to the issue of Gibraltar and understanding of the modern realities of the relationship between Gibraltar and Spain, and in particular between Gibraltar and the Campo de Gibraltar. He was very keen, the minute he took over, to start talking a different sort of language. So in the time Señor Margallo had been in post, after the Brexit referendum was declared, he talked about the frontier potentially closing and Spain's ability to do that once we were out of the European Union. The minute Señor Dastis took over, he started to talk about not ever wanting to see the frontier close and using the negotiations to secure the fluidity that there is at the frontier.
Yeah.
From his point of view, in respect of Spanish workers who come to Gibraltar, but that played well into our own view that every citizen, whether a Spanish worker, a European worker, or indeed a citizen who's coming in or out of Gibraltar to visit, to see family because they wish to, etc., should have the benefits of the existing fluidity that there is today. So things have changed a lot. We've moved from belligerence to a discreet discussion. I wouldn't quite call it negotiation, but discreet discussion. And I do hope that we'll be able to see progress in time, not to delay the rest of the process of Brexit, if that does actually move on in the way that all of us would expect, which would be with a good deal for the United Kingdom and a good deal for Europe, and therefore also a good deal for Gibraltar.
It was said by Judy Girling, who's the MEP for South West England and Gibraltar. She says, "I worry that issues around Gibraltar haven't been given enough consideration in London, that a solution will come in the very end of negotiation, perhaps not be the best solution because it's been cobbled together at the last minute." We're kind of in the last minute territory, aren't we now?
Well, we're in last minute territory for everything, and I don't think much has been agreed, let alone Gibraltar issues. But I want to thank Julie for those words. She said them some time ago. She was right to raise that concern, but she was wrong about the issues for this reason. Whilst I lead the government of Gibraltar and the Deputy Chief Minister, Joseph Garcia, is in that team, we're not going to allow London to forget the issue of Gibraltar. And I think it is fair to say that the Prime Minister and the Secretary of State for leaving the European Union, David Davis, and now Dominic Raab, and the team at the Foreign Office under Boris Johnson and now under Jeremy Hunt have not for one moment forgotten the Gibraltar issue. There is daily communication, daily consideration of how best to approach issues, and we're working hand in glove with the government of the United Kingdom on this issue in a way that will secure the position for Gibraltar and for the UK.
Because it hasn't been discussed anywhere near as much as the Irish border has it?
No, it hasn't. And I think there are good reasons for that. First of all, Northern Ireland is a much bigger issue in respect of the United Kingdom. So Northern Ireland is one of the nations of the United Kingdom. It has a border with the Republic of Ireland. The troubles have meant that there's been violence and there's been loss of life, and therefore the issue is much more an issue of serious concern at the level of potential return of terrorism, etc., something that all of us hope will not happen. The issue of Gibraltar is a different one. It's a more commercial one. It is one that has been dealt with but doesn't create the media interest in the United Kingdom because we are not part of the United Kingdom in the strict legal definition, although we are within the European Union as a European territory for which the United Kingdom had responsibility for the external affairs of. So it's a different dynamic. Gibraltar's Brexit situation has been discussed almost daily in the Gibraltar media, where you would expect it to be considered, and almost daily in the Campo de Gibraltar media, where it has the sort of level of effect that the Northern Irish question would have in the United Kingdom. So I'm satisfied that whatever may or may not have been in the UK media, the UK government has not for one moment forgotten the issue of Gibraltar. I've done a lot of high-profile media work in the UK, but you wouldn't expect that to be every day, and you wouldn't expect it to be every week.
Of course.
And I guess it's more about people flowing across the border here rather than goods, as it would be in an Irish situation.
Well, indeed, because you see, Gibraltar has never been part of the Common Customs Union, yeah. And we have always been in what people today loosely call hard Brexit. We have always been in hard Brexit for goods. Our goods always have to do a customs check when they leave Gibraltar and have to do a customs check on the way into Gibraltar. Yeah. What we've had is the benefit of the freedom of movement of persons. Now, that's a concept which does not relate to fluidity. The concept that relates to fluidity is the Schengen Accord on free travel.
Yeah.
We are not in the Schengen area, just like the United Kingdom, but we have the right of free movement. That will fall away as we leave the European Union, and that's what we've got to preserve, whilst also looking at how we ensure that the fluidity at the frontier is preserved, and not just in respect of the position today. I mean, I think it's fair to say we haven't had queues at the frontier.
Absolutely.
In any way since Senor Dastis took over,
Yeah. Let
alone now that the socialists are in power in Spain. But we need to preserve this position. And the situation we have been in before has been that we've been able to pray in aid the European Commission if Spain have got difficult. So you may recall that in 2013, Senor Delgado got very difficult and David Cameron had to call in Senor Barroso's cabinet in Brussels to look at the way that the frontier was being operated. And Spain had its knuckles wrapped because it wasn't operating the fluidity that it should be operating. We need to ensure that in future, although we won't be members of the European Union, we have some sort of understanding or accord with the EU in a way that is justiciable in the same way as the Treaty of Rome and the Treaty on Establishing the Functioning of the European Union have been, so that we can continue to have that fluidity enforced should somebody decide to play silly buggers at the front.
Absolutely. It's worth mentioning, isn't it, that when the referendum happened, 97% of Gibraltarians voted to remain. I'm just wondering, have you ever come across any of the 3% and had a conversation with them?
I know them well. And I respect their views.
You've sent them on a long holiday.
I respect their views, and you know, I understand why they took the view that they took. Because I don't think it's fair to think that the 97% that voted to remain in the European Union thought that the European Union was perfect, or that there was no need to change the way the European Union did the things it does. What we thought was, however, that if we voted to leave the European Union, we would be giving a license to people like Señor Malagaño to say some of the things that Señor Malagaño started saying the morning after the referendum. So he said Gibraltar will be Spanish within 4 years, we're now able to close the frontier, this is our best opportunity to make Gibraltar Spanish, etc., etc. We were giving them a license to do that because of the potential that a no-deal Brexit could create an opportunity for member states to show their displeasure with the United Kingdom by enforcing their international rights absent EU rights. And that's what Gibraltar was united on. All trade unions, all employer representative organisations, all chief ministers past and present, of course the one sitting here with you today, and all political parties were united around Remain being the best option for Gibraltar, even though we all, I think, in different ways might take the view that the European Union needed reform.
Yes. So as we go forward, are you optimistic? Are you going to get, to use an analogy, to the border with Gibraltar and go straight across the runway, or are the barriers going to come down at the last minute and you're going, oh no, now we're in trouble, we're going to have to wait for the next four aircraft to land?
For two reasons I'm optimistic. First of all, because the tunnel under the runway will be completed sometime next year. And that'll make life easier, whatever's happening
there's
at the frontier.
Escape route under the tunnel, yeah.
And second, because I think there is a deep understanding in Brussels, in London, in Madrid and in Gibraltar that the frontier fluidity is essential to preserve the daily lives of so many people who rely on it, not just for work, but also because of family commitments, for leisure, for tourism, for business. And I think it's key that we all work together to ensure that that fluidity is preserved. That's our job at the end of the day as politicians. It's not to posture and take positions that might win us headlines. It's to achieve the practical arrangements that the people who vote for us need us to achieve.
Fantastic. Well, as always, a pleasure to talk to you. I know you've got to go. You've got to get your scarf knitted for this evening's football match and the rattle. Have you organised the rattle yet?
There's a lot of rattlers ready. It's a sold-out Victoria Stadium for tonight.
Good luck.
Chief Minister Fabian Picardo, thank you so much for joining us on Let's Talk. Appreciate your time.